Exclusive, Michael Savage Raw and Unfiltered on Trump, Beethoven, and the Future of America. By Joshua Kaplan on November 11, 2019. Conservative radio legend Michael Savage, host of the nationally syndicated show The Savage Nation and The Savage Nation Podcast, tackles a wide variety of today's hot-button political issues, including the House Democrats' partisan impeachment investigation and the devastating effects of illegal immigration in an exclusive interview with Breitbart News. Savage also takes a trip down memory lane, reflecting on how being the victim of affirmative action helped spawn his meteoric media career and spoke of how the intersection of art and spirituality shaped the man he is today. Savage warns Trump on impeachment, Senate Republicans cannot be trusted. Not only is the Trump presidency at a critical juncture, but so is the United States. The House Democrats' impeachment inquiry, led by House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, DCA, is set to go public with testimonies from key witnesses from the administration this week. While House Republicans, and for the most part, their colleagues in the Senate, have stood united against efforts to impeach President Trump, Savage cautions the upper chamber's GOP members could ultimately join their Democrat counterparts in voting to remove the president. They'll go whichever way the wind blows, Savage predicts, pointing to how Republican senators have repeatedly broken their promises to voters, referencing their decades-old failure to secure the porous southern border. They're quislings and are liable to go against Trump, if push comes to shove. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them, and an elephant is their symbol. They never liked him, they never wanted an outsider in the presidency. They wanted someone who was amongst their club, he adds. The club machine on both sides decides who will become president. Along came this outsider, this gruff, vulgar businessman, and they hate him and still do. I don't trust many of them, if any of them. 2020 Democrats don't stand a chance versus President Trump. From Senator Elizabeth Warren's, DMA, $52 trillion Medicare for All proposal to now defeated Beto O'Rourke's vow to forcibly confiscate an estimated 16 million R-15s, the Democratic White House primary field is arguably the most far-left in U.S. history. The party's leftward lurch, coupled with former Vice President Joe Biden's slipshod campaign performance, may prompt billionaire and former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg to jump into the race. Twice-failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton is even being floated as a potential contender. Whoever wins the Democratic nomination, Savage's chips are on the incumbent. She is the most despicable of all of the candidates, next to Bernie Sanders, because her policies are as Marxist as his and in a package just as distasteful as his. He is a crumpled old seltzer man from New York, who you wouldn't trust your child around, he quips. There is a meanness to her face that's not missed on the electorate, particularly with women. Women know women, better than men know women. And women distrust Elizabeth Warren because they know the type. Savage then argues the Democrat field's pessimistic economic message is wildly out of touch with the realites of today's booming job market. Under President Trump, the economy has added 5.1 million jobs, while unemployment has dropped to the lowest rate in nearly half a century. They are lecturing us on jobs when Donald Trump is the greatest job creator in the history of America, Savage states. How can they run on jobs when we have almost full employment right now? They're running on a campaign slogan from a time of recession. They're still stuck in the 1930s. They're not selling pencils at Grand Central Station right now or selling apples in the street. Everyone who wants to work is working and everyone else is a damn bum. Borders, language, and culture. A clairvoyant credo. Savage has built a large and loyal audience based on many things. His far-sighted, politically independent analysis and predictions, captivating storytelling, a no-nonsense, straight-talking demeanor, his dark humor, and his ability to weave culture and religion into any subject at any time. Yet, not even Savage, author of over 40 books, five of which are New York Times bestsellers, would argue that he is most famous for being the originator of the political philosophy, borders, language, and culture. Simply, without this trio of ingredients, it is impossible for a country to exist, let alone survive. I created the Paul Revere Society when I began in radio in 1994, Savage says. The organizational theme of it was borders, language, culture, The defining elements of a nation. How did I come up with that? Common sense. There's not a nation on earth that's not defined, or was not defined until recently. When the globalists like Angela Merkel, who destroyed Germany and others destroyed nations by making their borders disappear. You go to any Caribbean nation that's independent, do you know they all have voter ID? Grenada, you name it. They say, of course we have voter ID, how else would we have knowledge of who are voting in our elections? This means anyone can come in and vote. Why don't you have it? Ask Nancy Pelosi. Ask Chuck Schumer, ask Dianne Feinstein, the devils of our time, he adds. Savage then turns his attention to Schiff, who he says would never have been allowed to conduct secret depositions if American lawmakers governed the country upholding the tenets of BLC. They want the nation to be broken over their knees so they can play with it like Nutty Putty, like Adam Schiff is doing with our Constitution, he states. Do you think a guy like this could get away with secret star chamber hearings if most American people spoke the same language and understood the Constitution and Bill of Rights? He could never get away with it. A low-life scumbag could never be where he is in a nation where people understand the founding documents and the language of the land. Savage, who holds master's degrees in anthropology and ethnobotany from the University of Hawaii at Manoa and a PhD in nutritional ethnomedicine from University of California, Berkeley, then draws on his extensive background of as trained biologist to explain BCL in scientific terms. The essence of every living thing is the cell, where it be a plant cell or an animal cell. What is it that holds a cell together? In an animal cell, it's the cell membrane. The cell membrane is the border of the cell. If you make the cell membrane porous, where things can come in and go out, the cell falls apart. It dissolves because it has no identity. It becomes a massive protoplasm, he explains. That's what's happening as a result of left-wing fanatics, who have put acid on our cell membranes, or our plant cell walls. Without borders, there are no national boundaries. Without a common language, there's no common cohesion. We have a Tower of Babel, and without a common culture, we have no unity among the people. That makes it easier for the devils that are trying to create this new world order to destroy a nation by controlling it from afar. Trump-China trade battle, deal or no deal? It's a smokescreen, Savage says of the president's ongoing negotiations with China. The business interests in America are so powerful. They all oppose tariffs because they've gotten used to doing business with China and they don't care about the long-term, holistic effects. They don't care about trade imbalances, they don't care about the military, all they care about is the bottom line. I believe the Better Business Bureau of America, as represented by Mitch McConnell and company, are totally opposed to tariffs, and no matter what deal Trump announces, at the end of the day, there will be no deal. It will be the same deal that'll screw the American people for all of these decades. I'm not optimistic at all, he goes on. He then points to North Korea's recent missile tests as another example of how President Trump's efforts to reach agreements with adversaries have yet to come to fruition, raising the prospect that the swamp could quietly torpedo such deals. I think it's going to be another smokescreen like the peace deal with North Korea. We kept hearing about how wonderful negotiations with North Korea are and how we outsmarted Kim Jong mentally Elon. As far as I can tell, he's still firing off missiles with impunity, says Savage. I don't think that the North Korean deal, whatever that may be, is a deal at all. He's doing exactly what he wants. Iran is rerunning the centrifuges. Where is the deal there? We keep hearing about these great deals, but unfortunately, maybe they are great deals and then the Senate goes behind the president's back and undermines him and our national security. King of San Francisco for a day. The decline of San Francisco, or San Francisco, as Savage affectionately calls his adopted city, has long been well documented. In 1974, he moved to the city by the bay with his wife and two young children due to its then sterling public school system. Under the leadership of Mayor Willie Brown, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senator Dianne Feinstein, and Governor Jerry Brown, the Democrat-controlled city and the state of California as a whole have increasingly worsened. If Uncle Mike, as he is known to longtime listeners, could issue any decrees of his choice for 24 hours as mayor, what issues would he tackle to stop the decay? The foundational issues, education, healthcare and illegal immigration, of course. Illegal aliens have destroyed the state and the city. People go, oh, they come here to work. Bullshit, they come here to work. If you look at the rate of abuse of the welfare system, and the hospitals are overwhelmed. I speak to doctors, I speak to nurses. The healthcare system has been destroyed in this state, he exclaims. I live near the San Francisco Bay and I watch birds every day. Before my show, I feed them bread. A couple of days before, I see a variety of species, seagulls, cormorant, pelicans. It's beautiful to see them all sitting out there. They don't kill each other, they don't fight with each other over fish in the bay. They all get along. Is that really true in a sanctuary city, where we all get along? I don't think so, he adds. When you take a group and displace them with another group, where did the group that was displaced go? What do they feel like? How did it happen so rapidly? And why did it happen so rapidly? Who was behind the invasion of California in America? Conservationists and animal welfare advocates, key part of Trump's base? While President Trump has denounced trophy hunting as a horror show, the Department of Interior has made the importation of endangered animals as trophies easier. In October, a bipartisan group of Congress members introduced the Prohibiting Threatened and Endangered Creature Trophies Act of 2019, PROTECT Act to prevent the hunting of any endangered or threatened species. Savage, a noted dog father of a poodle named Teddy, says the Trump administration should be protecting animals or risk turning off millions of educated suburban women across the country. It's a very important issue. It's not only important to me, Savage says. I believe this, and people may not know this, is they say President Trump's support among educated suburbanite women has languished a bit. I'm telling you as I stand here, that's because of environmental and animal policies that are contrary to educated people, whether they be women, suburbanites, or otherwise. I've tried to get this message across to both the president and to others in the administration. And guess what? In person, they agree with me. But, apparently, the powers that be in the Department of Interior are so powerful that even they don't have any control over it. They know they're vulnerable on these issues, he adds. Whoever is doing the internal polling is absolutely blind to environmental and animal welfare issues. They are living in the 1940s, a go out and kill an elephant and put his head on a wall mentality. It's 2019, we're not living in 1918. Most educated people know you can't slaughter everything on the planet and pave over all the wilderness and call it American greatness. The importance of art in a savage life. Whoa, nobody's ever asked me that before, Savage replies when asked about how art has shaped him. I grew up as a little boy in my father's little antique store in Manhattan. He used to sell bronze statues. He taught me at a very early age the difference between a fine sculpture and a bad one. He would say, "Look at the toes and fingers." Many artists could sculpt a figure very well, but the real test is how to sculpt the toes and the fingers. You start with the little details and you work your way back from there. Classic figures are what I like. I'm not a huge fan of modern art, but I understand it. I've looked at Picasso's split images of women's faces. However, I'm a classicist in terms of what I prefer in my own house. I love jazz music, as you well know, he continues, listing off a series of jazz legends such as Art Blakey, Charlie Parker, and Kenny Burrell. I love classic rock and roll. I'm moved to tears when I listen to classic music. I lose the ability to speak. If I listen to Beethoven, I can't speak because every few centuries someone comes along that's so outside the human experience and the greatness that they overwhelm the senses in terms of their genius. The beauty of nature, the artistry of God's hand in nature, is expressed in man's attempt to create beauty in his paintings and sculptings. The purpose of art, Savage says, is to create what God created on earth through man's hands or with his voice. The reinvention of Savage as a radio star. Change is hard no matter someone's age. But that didn't deter Savage from transforming himself from health supplement expert to a conservative talker at the age of 50. How did he rise to the top of conservative media, and what propelled him there? Because of affirmative action, which is aimed at white, heterosexual males, my birthright as an immigrant's son was stolen from me, Savage explains. I'm one of the few people in the media whose father was an immigrant to America. I'm very proud of that fact. He came here from Russia at 7 years old. I've been working since I was a young kid, and I don't want to stop working now. If God wants me to stop, he'll let me know pretty quickly. I went into radio because I was so infuriated by what was done to me. How I had my birthright stolen right from me from the left wing through affirmative action. They denied me what I was qualified for. All I wanted to be was a college professor. We're in a war and we're losing the culture war. The march to the institutions has been won a long time ago. I'm as motivated today as the day I began. I have the same passion for the subjects that I have. Savage reflects on life as a conservative in San Francisco speech. On October 29, Savage delivered a rare speech at the University Club of San Francisco, where he mused for roughly an hour about everything from politics to culture. Fashion, jokes, and personal anecdotes about President Trump and were sprinkled through his remarks before an engaged and lively audience. There isn't much Savage hasn't accomplished in his career. Top-rated show, loyal fan base, best-selling author, and political influencer. However, as he's acknowledged to his listeners, radio lacks instant feedback from listeners. Sometimes everybody needs a human connection. Radio is an anonymous medium. I work alone out of my home. You begin to miss human contact, Savage responds when asked why he wanted to hold the event. I'm a member of this university club and I rarely go there. I was approached by their president, who seems to be politically conservative. He's an anomaly. He asked if I'd be willing to speak at the club, so we can get some like-minded people, and I said sure. It started out with 15 to 20 people. But of course, I don't do many live performances, and it sold out rapidly, he says. I decided to put the video up of the event at SavageNationLive.com because there were thousands of people who would have liked to be there. It started as a desire to meet like-minded people in this club. I was told a lot of young people there are conservative, which is an interesting phenomenon going in San Francisco and around the country. You wouldn't know it from the media, but that's what's going on. Would I do it again? I doubt it, Savage says. I entitled the event as Life as a Conservative in San Francisco. I gave the people 1 hour of entertainment. None of it was heavy politics. I thought, what would Mark Twain do if he were here? I tried to write the humor as if it were him. You can be politically conservative and also be very humorous. It seems that the left owns the entertainment business, but they really don't. They just exclude people, he adds. The Savage Truth. Although Savage has spent the last 25 years fighting for America every day on the airwaves, the radio host has his doubts about whether the country can continue on the path it's on. No, I'm pessimistic, Savage says bluntly. I think Donald Trump, even if he wins a second term, it is the last gasp of America as we know it. I think we're going to enter years and years, if not decades, of darkness.